That was Comfort Fit off of the Forget and Remember LP on Tokyo Dawn Records. Hello everyone, this is Renegade from Luxo Media, and I want to share with you some highlights from the Youth Media Salon at the National Media Education Conference, which took place June 27th, 2005 in San Francisco. And what you're about to hear are highlights from the panel from youth representing the Conscious Youth Media Crew, Casamont Business Information Technology School, Youth Sounds Factory, and the Bay Area Video Coalition. And they'll be talking about the distribution, motivation, and challenges of making youth media, and their plans for the future. So enjoy and be the media.
Hello, my name is Kirthi, and I work at the Bay Area Video Coalition, BAVAC, which is a media arts organization teaching the YouthLink video program.
My name is Leslie Rodriguez, and I'm part of YouthLink. Past that cycle, now I'm a teacher's assistant in YouthLink, BAVAC.
Hello, my name is Danielle Bensel. I've been a part of Conscious Youth Media Crew now for almost 4 years, and I made about 5 short films using the technology.
My name is Deborah. I'm the founder and director of Conscious Youth Media Crew, a digital youth media program here in San Francisco.
Hello, my name is Esmeralda Aguilar, and I was a student at Civic Casamont High.
Hi, my name is Sarah Goody, and I'm a social studies teacher at Casamont Business and Information Technology School.
Hi, I'm Scott Boswell. I work at Youth Sounds Factory, and I have the honor of working with some amazing young filmmakers over in the East Bay.
Hi, my name is Andrew, and I work with the Youth Sounds, and I'm a youth and a filmmaker.
That was awesome. Hi, my name is Amber Dubois, and I am involved with Youth Sounds, and these are my guys.
Also, just something to add on to the ideas of distribution, because I think that right now youth media is still being defined and articulated, and it's kind of very like exciting to be able to be talking and working about it as it's being developed. And I also see something very special about youth media in terms of distribution, where it's no longer just about in film festivals or mainstream festivals and television, but there's classrooms, there's panels, there's organizations. And I think what it is, the potential is youth media is tapping into social activism in a way, like a history that has been kind of a little like tapered off in like other kinds of genres and stuff. So I think it's very exciting as a group and as like a community that we open up and recognize that there's all kinds of innovative forms of distribution that are happening in particular through youth media. So
going to add, for Conscious Youth Media Crew right now, we're working with Yo TV, which is a part of Youth Outlook magazine. Many of you probably know the magazine. It's widely distributed here in San Francisco. Editor-in-chief over here. And so we've been working with the youth from Beat Within and from Conscious Youth Media Crew to develop segments that we can use on the TV show. So that's one form of distribution. And that shows on Sundays at 7 a.m. in the morning. And then we also work with schools, and we put on film festivals right inside the high schools because we want to share these films with the local communities where the kids are from. So, and that's really exciting because the kids that are in the neighborhoods of the films that we shoot in, they get to see themselves out there. And a lot of kids, it's really exciting because they see themselves, their cousins, brothers, sisters. And then we also send our films out to different film festivals. So that's some of the ways that people get to see our films, and we are also streaming on the web.
Well, I'm not going to talk about Youth TV, but in the factory program at Youth Sounds, we actually produce work expressly for distribution. The factory program was kind of designed a couple of years ago, not by myself, but a man named Gabriel Diamond, and I took over for him about a year ago. He decided to try kind of an experiment to see if youth could create media that was broadcast quality. And the work that they did that year, you saw one of them, See None, was created that year, proved it. And we do distribute to festivals internationally, and without sounding like I'm bragging, we've had quite a lot of success playing in festivals and winning awards. And there are youth categories all over the world in festivals, so don't ignore those. If you're involved in youth media, they're out there, and you can find them. We believe that youth should be proud of their work, and that their stories should be told. So we operate on the principle that their stuff should be seen and watchable as well.
I just want to talk real quick about what we had done at CBIT. So what we ended up doing is we put the entire ninth grade through a digital storytelling curriculum, and everybody had the chance to make a piece about how they or someone in their family came to California. And when we were done, myself, the English teacher, and a few other people were talking about it, and we're like, you know, we can't just let it end here. It can't just stop in the classroom. So what we ended up doing was we rented out the theater at the Oakland Museum, and we invited, like, parents, community members, and it was amazing. Like, we had the best parent turnout that we had had in a long time at our school, and it was just wonderful for the students to be able to share their pieces publicly and to see, like, what, you know, what my experiences, my stories are valued at school. Like, they rented out the theater for us, and we ended up actually compiling them all into a DVD, and every student got a DVD. So I think, like, for teachers that are considering doing something like that in their classrooms, I think that's a really important part of it, to share the work publicly and then also give it to the students so that they have what they created.
I've got to say, the moment I realized my voice had to be heard was when they decided to remake Bad News Bears. I was really pissed off about that. I don't know, I don't think there was a moment. It's just like, I never agree with anything I ever hear ever on TV unless it's funny. So, I don't know, I just had to get some sort of an outlet.
I'm going to talk a little bit about access really quickly, even though I'm an adult, sorry. But I won't bore you. But I just want to talk about access as far as, like, this digital technology is just getting smaller and more handleable, and you can walk around with it, and you can put it in your backpack, and you can take it home, and you can take it out in your kitchen. You can walk around your neighborhood with it. We're not talking about big, bulky cameras. So, like, as far as getting technology into young people's hands, especially young people who are coming from poor communities and poor neighborhoods, I think it's a really phenomenal way to help kind of America, like, and turn the whole world open up and be able to, like, share real life experiences with real life people without NBC, ABC, and CBS adulterating everything that there is for us to watch. And so I think part of, the new technology that's coming out right now with, like, mini DV camcorders and being able to, you know, have an editing system in your living room. I have two young men who are brothers who took the course, and they became real editing fanatics and went into their editing cave. And when they got their stipend from our program, they pooled their money and bought a computer. And now they're editing everything. They make, like, streetball tapes out of their bedroom. So it's like, here's these two kids who are able to, you know, they found something they really loved, and they were able to get something that formerly would have cost like $100,000 to get an editing system, you know, that what Final Cut Pro, which is just a type of software that you can use on your own home computer. So I think that these new technologies are really increasing access to everybody, and I think that's why it's really important for us to provide as much training and support as we can to young people to help them use that technology, so that it's not out there that people don't know how to use it, but that people really know how to use it to their full advantage and that can make real high quality work.
I'd like to follow up on that by saying that it'd be a really different world if kids and young people and anyone in general who couldn't afford it could get a Final Cut Pro on an iMac or a iBook or something, or even a GarageBand or a Reason or a Pro Tools, because you can be creative by writing a novel and all you need is a piece of paper and a pencil, but there's still a lot of kids with nothing else to do. But you hear all these people who want all these all these tools for creating music and creating film, and nobody can ever get to them. So if we ever had that, we'd have a lot more to do. We'd make a lot more, and you'd all have a lot more competition. So I'd like to see the day when Final Cut Pro costs about as much as a movie. So is that like $30?
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
This is how I feel. And the best thing to do is when you're dealing with your feelings or a topic that you want to present, be comfortable with yourself. If you feel how the flow of the movie is going, if you like it, keep working with it. Someone might say it's too slow or it's too fast. Just take constructive criticism, but keep it the way that you like, because again, this is your voice in motion on screen. People are going to watch it, and if it's not how you feel, then what are you making the movie for? It's your movie, it's not their movie. That's true though.
I think that at USounds we get a great amount of encouragement. It's like it's endless. Nobody's ever telling us we should do something. That, you know, maybe we could do this instead of that as far as like little technical stuff, but it's about it. And nobody ever, well, I can't speak for everyone else, but I never ever really want to stop and quit. Sometimes I just hate my films and I'll just shout it really, really loud so everyone can hear it. I hate this piece of such and such. But then I'll keep on working on it and work through it.
When I was doing my piece, I never talked to anybody about alcoholism in my family, so it was kind of difficult to actually like have a room with people and show them like my, since I've been like hiding for my whole life, but I've had like great people, Patricia, which is one of the people that helped me out. I don't know, I think it's important to have like a lot of support. Maybe some things like in your project may be too extreme or you think it's too much, but just have them like say, oh, that's a good idea, but I think you should do this, or have the same kind of a message. But for me, it was more of like, I would have never thought of like showing that piece to anybody, but they made it more okay to just open yourself up and actually say what you want to say. It's not so much as like, we're doing this subject, how about we do this? Just stick to the subject. It's more like, what do you feel? What do you want? What do you want to tell people in your community? So just to have that sense of feeling that you can do anything, it's helpful.
I just wanted to comment really quickly on what Andrew was talking about. Just like that every time, every edit you see, if any of you are media makers, you know that any edit you see, any special, that's a decision that the filmmaker's making. So this is just an excellent, excellent platform for young people to learn decision-making skills. And it's also another way for young people to really learn how to get in touch with themselves and who they are as people. It's really a great tool for self-knowledge and self-love to really, like you're saying, you know, to get to know yourself. This is like a personal growth tool that using video to be able to tell the story about alcoholism in her family. That's a very painful subject, and it's going to take some kind of reflection and personal growth to be able to go there. And so I think that this whole digital storytelling concept is really powerful when it comes to learning about yourself and making decisions about your voice and how you want to share it, you know, express yourself.
I would just like to add a little bit to that. when we had our digital fest at the Oakland Museum, it was a really great experience because it was people that I used to hang out with every day, even people that I've known for like my whole life. And you know, we have to do this story about how us or somebody in our family got to California. And nobody ever talks about that, you know? Nobody ever says, oh, you know what? My mom or dad had to go through this to get me where I am. And so when we was out there, you know, everybody was just having a good time. And then some of them were so emotional that people would just start crying out the cuz. And you know, I was all like, oh my God, you know, you've been my friend for like the whole, ever since I was born, and I never knew that about you. And like, I think it's a good experience to just let people know what you have to go through sometimes or every day to be in where you are right now, or what you have to go through to get what you want to go. Because like my mom and dad always say, there's always going to be somebody bigger and better than you, and you always have to stay at the top of the game.
And there's always going to be people that are going to want to see you fail. And it's hard to get back up, because it's always harder to go up and then come right down, you know? Mm-hmm. So I just like to add a little bit to that.
Yeah, expressing youth and young adults through art, that's what I love to do. I love to see young kids sing and rap and dance and play instruments. So maybe you could find me in an art museum or teaching art or a little dip.
Yes.
That's a hard question. I don't know, like, I would say I would want to have some kind of outlet for kids to talk about, or youth, I'm not going to say kids because we're youth, to talk about politics. We're not so much as like, we don't even get to vote, so I think we do need a voice in that. So I hope to kind of have some kind of outlet so that everybody can know what we think.
Well, I'm not sure if this answers your question, but for me, when this is not the first piece I made, and my first piece, it wasn't the best one, but as I kept doing some more, I got better at it, and then the reason I was also doing it is because I attend Castlemont High School in Oakland, so you know, there's been a lot of rumors about Castlemont not being one of the best schools. And so I thought that if we as students did some of these pieces and put it out there, you know, people won't always be talking about, oh, you know what, Castlemont this and Castlemont that. There's gonna be something good they're gonna have to talk about. And so I thought that this will be a good start. So, you know, not just the reporters are there when something bad happens. Because when we had our little festival, we're just going to do like Castlemont people, like staff, teachers, students, and their families. But then we decided to bring people from downtown Oakland, from the district, to also take a look at what we do right, not just what we do wrong. Or that every time something's wrong, you know, the news people are always there. But when we do something right, we want the news people to also put that out there, so that people know that we don't just do negative things, you know? So that's my, I don't know if that answered your question.
Oh yeah, I don't know, in the future, well, I'm a musician by trade and I guess a filmmaker by night or something, I don't know. I'll probably end up doing both, but I'm really into music, so I'll never stop doing it, even if I wanted to. And I don't know, an issue that really bugs me is just the music industry in general, how it's just really lame, and I don't see how you can have any room for creativity when you're built around like three major corporations whose only, like, their only actual goal is to make money, no matter how many nice people you have working there. It just, it really doesn't make any sense to have that kind of environment and just spawn all this creativity. It just seems like we could be doing a lot better, have a lot more options, and a lot more people out there. I mean, there's 40,000 new musical artists every year, and 8 of them get famous. What's that? You know, spread the wealth, everybody. So in 10 years, you'll probably see me chipping away at the Viacom building or something.
Well, on a bit more serious note, when I first came into the factory, I was asked a similar question, and one of the projects that I had in mind to do was to kind of travel around the world and interview women living in this world about what it's like going through menopause and what it's like growing old, you know, and like just aging gracefully. And so that's one thing that I hope to be doing sometime in the future. And I came into the factory wanting to do many different documentaries with several different topics, so hopefully I'll continue to be involved with that. But aside from that, I'd love to do music videos, independent stories, other people's writings, personal stories and anything that will keep me happy and, you know, put something out there. So, yeah, that's me. No.